Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the remix to Ignition, hot and spit out the kitchen, and I'm a rolling that body, got every man in here wishing.
Got him wishing now!
Can't sing that anymore.
You can.
Can you still sing that?
I don't know. I mean, you hear it quite a lot around the clubs and hostelries of this fair nation. I don't know what's up or down, to be quite frank.
It's probably
lost profits, though. I was listening to it. I have, in recent memory, had a little flirtation with listening to the Lost Prophets, because I don't think it's fair that the rest of the band are thrown in with. So they need their one penny from Spotify, I think. I didn't listen. Let's make it very clear. I did listen to it on Spotify because people could see what I'm doing.
I DJ'd with you once, and it was an indie night.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you were
wall
there.
Wall to wall, Gary Glitter.
Bangers. It was all to bangers.
Right.
But I said, I can't be asked to bring all my CDs in. Peter, can you do it? You said yes, because you're a good egg about that kind of thing. So we were using your CDs. I thought, I've got enough songs in there to enjoy that I want to play out. And we were doing it one song each back to back. So bearing in mind that the actual booth is dark, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
I've had a drink.
Yeah.
It's boozy. It's lights are dark and flashing.
Yeah.
You've left a little hand grenade in that CD box, haven't you?
Right, okay.
You left a little hand grenade in there, copied, by the way, not even the purchase.
No.
Copied and written on in marker pen, just as I'm flipping through them, what's that? Oh, 99 Problems, play it a bit later. Mm. What's this? Oh, it's great. What's that? Oh, a bit of this. Oh, Lost Prophets, whole album, Last
whole
Train
album.
Home. Why have you left that little landmine in there for me to step on?
Well, at least I've labelled it correctly. I could have put it in as 99 Problems. You could have been hearing...
Wow, that would be a proper musical landmine.
Shinobi versus Dragon Ninja. Or something. I think that was one of their songs, wasn't it? I don't know.
It's a good name for a song.
It's good. I've never spoken to the wrong one, but the other lads from Lost Prophets always seem quite nice.
This is the Luke and Pete show, everyone. I'm Luke, he's Pete. I would love to distance myself from somebody's comments, but at this point, really.
You can't really.
What's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point?
We call on the company, Luke.
Yeah, people are listening and going, well, you're still doing it.
We're going down. We're going down together, baby. It's Thelma and Louise.
Different band.
Don't taint them with that.
They're on my wives playlist that I have in the car.
Always got on with Pete Wentz because I didn't talk to him about... Who did Pete Wentz go out with? Quite famous. One of the sisters. Blonde one out of the sisters. Or maybe the brown-haired one out of the sisters. You know, the sisters.
You still find them.
Daisy Duke from Dukes of Hazzard.
What do you want from me here?
Margaret Atwood. What's her name?
It is actually Margaret Atwood.
It's Margaret Atwood.
I would absolutely love it to have been Margaret Atwood. I think we all would. I think it would have made for a very different Handmaid's Tale.
It would have made for a very different album.
Some would say better. I wouldn't say necessarily better or worse, just very, very different. Ashley Simpson,
right.
I think you're talking about, who's Jessica Simpson's younger daughter.
Oh, is she also... Is
daughter?
She
sister? Let me make that very clear.
Is she
younger sister?
Founder of the Griffin Poetry Prize and the Writers' Trust of Canada? Or?
I don't think so.
Right, okay. It's just good to know.
What I would say about Ashley Simpson, and I am very much freestyling here, is she had a brilliant single, can't remember what it's called now, but so did her older sister.
Yes.
Did her older sister have the song...
Nick.
The song,
somebody called Nick. Did she go out with someone called Nick?
Stop that just for a second. Just give me a sec. Let listeners breathe. Did Ashley Simpson's older sister, Jessica, have a song called I Think I'm In Love? If so, it's fucking brilliant.
Right. Well, Ashley Simpson went on SNL and fucked up the miming, I seem to recall.
Right.
and they had to start again, and she fucked it.
Was it live or not?
I think it was live, yeah. So she thought it was pre-recorded or something like that. I don't know how you sort of, like, surely they must tell you, this is live, don't say fuck up, bugger.
I'm quite cynical about that. I feel like if you are a performer, they need to be making it very clear that it's live if it's live, and you're not going to forget that as a performer.
Right, okay.
It's going to lodge in your brain.
Yeah.
You know, if I agree. We've done this. We've done live radio, both of us.
We've done SNL. We've hosted SNL.
And we've done podcasting, right? You know it's a very different energy. It's a very different vibe. Mm. You ain't forgetting that. So I wonder whether they're just going, you know what? It's Ashley Simpson. She's a bit whack. We're going to stitch her up.
Yeah, right. What, you reckon the musician stitched her up?
I reckon the fucking director could have.
Why? Why tank your own career?
Oh, stick around, I'll tell you. When I get to 100,000 followers, I'll tell you all the secrets. Get your Tim Four hats on and join us.
Surely just emotionally you've got 100,000 followers right now.
I've been enjoying a great renaissance in my social media presence. Oh,
have you now?
Over the last week.
Just as Twitter tanks.
Because of that TikTok thing.
Oh, because the TikTok thing. Yeah. Yes. Okay, right.
The amount of people I had in my Instagram DM saying, oh, you just appeared on my son/daughter's TikTok to watch list.
Yeah. That's and now you're on a watch list.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
You'd be the new Andrew Tate.
This is how this works. Mm. I deliver a white hot take. Right. And then some of the lovely...
Was it a white hot take, or was it something, a story you heard from someone else?
Yeah, you were. One man's meat's another man's poison. But the actual hardworking members of Stat go and think, oh, that'll be a good clip to put up online.
Right,
I didn't even know it was on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, what? 2.5 million views? Thank you very much indeed.
Have you ever been... that interview I did with fucking Richard Ashcroft, that got clipped up, put on TikTok. That bad interview I did with BDI, that got clipped, put on TikTok.
Why don't they put the good ones
without, up? Don't put... Yeah, do the good ones.
Couldn't find me.
Do the one where I interview that bloke from Mad Men. Do that one where I interview...
In my defense, Pete, and I think even in the listeners and viewers' defense, in that interview where you interviewed that man from Mad Men, in the interview itself, you did interview him as and introduce him as that man from Mad Men.
Yeah.
Hello, so, that man from Mad Men.
Hello, that man from Mad Men.
Are you mad?
And Chernobyl.
Are you still mad? How mad are you?
Have you watched any of this? Yeah, no. I'm busy.
The wife I have access to says that Mad Men is, in her view, one of the great TV series.
I think it's the best TV series.
Right.
I can't get my partner to watch it. I don't know why. Well, because just Donda is a bellend, isn't
it? Yeah.
He's not the hero.
Is there a Peaky Blinders type feel where the men who like get into it want to be like Don Draper and think
they buy very expensive whiskey glasses. It's so cool, yeah. Can't necessarily do the day drinking because of the job. But
I love you. I tell you, this is their impression of Don Draper after drinking all the whiskey that he drinks in Mad Men. Do you think I'm cool? do you like this suit?
My mate, right, his daughter. Oh, shut up. Weird perv.
Will you sit outside and rather than sitting here with me, will you sit outside and pretend to be my secretary and come in and ask me to do stuff and I'll say no? That's what's happening.
Lucky strike. Fucking have a lucky strike in your mouth. It tastes real nice. Oh, Don. He's done it again.
D squared. That is great stuff.
He's done it again.
I will say this, at the risk of making myself out to be a terrible human being, I'm a huge fan of January Jones's work and I'm an absolutely insatiable follower of her on Instagram. Her content on Instagram is fantastic.
Has she ever been in anything where she's been good, though?
I was about to say,
yeah.
I suspect she might not be that good an actor.
Yeah, I don't think she is, Luke. So then why are you judging her?
I'm not judging her. Right. She's good on Instagram. I'll tell you who else is good on Instagram. Kate Beckinsale's brilliant on Instagram. So funny.
Okay. I mean, again, not great actors here.
You're not great on Instagram.
Don't do it.
You're not consistent enough.
I'm not consistent.
You've still got more followers than me. Anything. That's annoying.
Brilliant.
Yeah, because I do.
Lovely.
I try.
I might just screenshot your content and just put it out.
Yeah, and your followers will go down.
Yeah.
Absolute follower fucking kryptonite.
My Instagram name isn't even Pete Donaldson, so stick that in the net or
that's
something.
Because you think you're cool.
I am cool.
You're trying to be cool, that's why.
I want
anyway,
to be cool.
Pete, listen, we're well into the show now. I've done a brief intro, but why don't we do a proper one?
All right, then.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You don't ask me?
No. How are you? What have you been up to?
I'm pretty good. Not been up to too much, just the usual chutney, to be honest.
Mm.
What's been floating your boat, Reece? I like your pink jumper, by the way. Probably a strawberry milkshake jumper, that.
Strawberry milkshake. I do like a strawberry milkshake. Oh, you know what I had when I was in...
In what?
A root beer float.
Where was that?
Los Angeles. A root beer float.
That was about fucking 3 months ago.
I know, but
why are you only bringing the root beer flute? I'm still news now.
A root beer flute. Yeah. So I could throw a flute. You weirdo.
Yeah.
That would. Yeah. I just think root beer floats just need to be a bigger part of our life. Why have we adopted McDonald's and all of that Americana, and we've not taken on the root beer float? Delicious.
I follow an Instagram account which does all the great products that McDonald's used to sell back in like the 80s.
Okay, right, yeah.
And one of them, check this out, right? So McDonald's have I mean, I say famously, maybe you didn't know this. I think it's quite a well-known fact that McDonald's have never sold onion rings.
Okay, never done it.
But what they have done,
right,
available in the mid-80s, only between the hours of 4 and 9 p.m., onion nuggets.
Shredded onions mixed with potato?
I don't know, because they're obviously not available to purchase anymore, right, but they look like almost like mini hash browns, yeah.
Yeah,
with,
okay,
fair. Onion nuggets.
I could have that. I could take that.
But I thought it's quite an odd product for them to be selling.
Well, especially because they've not flirted with onion rings.
An odduct, if
an
you will.
An odduct, yeah.
What I would say finally about your jumper, Peter, is that it is a brave and confident man who can rock a quite nice woolen jumper like that.
Yeah.
At this time of year, yeah, with absolutely nothing underneath.
Well, I've got my coat, but like it is that kind
underneath,
of weird.
Peter, you're not going to wear your coat under your jumper. Right? Listen to the point. You're not going to wear your coat under.
Is this
your
about
jumper.
The nipples?
No, I'm well used to seeing your nipples.
It's
but
about the nipples.
My point is, if you wear a jumper with a t-shirt, you've got options.
Okay. Right. So you take off. Take right.
Yeah.
Just roll up the sleeves, like a real chap.
You have done that.
Yeah.
Are you quite hot? You're being hot. Yeah.
Constantly just sweating. I mean, we're obviously McSpicy boys here on the Luke and Pete Show and the Football Ramble, because obviously we advertised them about 2 years ago, and they live long in the memory. I like McSpicy. Steakhouse Stack. I would like to recommend everyone get involved with the Steakhouse Stack vibes.
The problem with the McDonald's near where I live, and I may have mentioned this to you before,
they're slow, inaccurate. I can't
so
remember.
So incompetent. Right, yeah, you can't get anything fucking done.
Mm.
Like, you cannot get anything.
Mm.
Like, you know, you do a delivery from McDonald's, don't turn up. Mm. Literally doesn't turn up. So the wife you have access to says, drive to McDonald's for me and get McDonald's. Fine,
yeah,
I'll do that. There's something in that for me, because I'll buy myself some. I drive there.
Yeah.
It's chaos. It's four deep at the fucking counter. No one knows what's happening. There's no one even working in there.
Yeah.
Three people working in there.
Do you know what who
you
I get
the steakhouse stack.
Do you know what I get really wound up at? Like, it's the only shop in the entirety of my locale that I go in and I regularly get annoyed. Halfords. Fucking
okay.
Halfords.
This is on brand.
They've only got one person working at the till, and they're always doing some kind of really convoluted order for some part of a, I don't know, Austin Allegro from the 60s that they've got to order in. And every time I got there, and I'm just buying a funnel or some acid or something. I don't know.
Acid?
I've killed a person. I bought like...
They're stalling before the police come. You're asking to buy a funnel and some acid. There's a protocol involved.
They just take such a long time. Because I'm trying to sort of upgrade my car. I've realised that my car is in a shit old state. There's scratches all down the side.
I could have told you that. I saw it.
There's scratches all down the side. So I've got... So I'm buying like sandpaper and primer and body filler and spray paint for my Fiat. And so like to fix it. And they just take such a bloody long time. And I'm back and forth because there's a new thing. I realised the headlights got a bit of a scrape on there. So I'm trying to find something that's going to recover that. So it's just all a big...
How far is the Halfords from where you live?
It's about 10 minutes away.
But walk?
No, driving.
Okay.
But it's just a pain in the arse selling your car, isn't it? How did you sell your car?
I trade it for a new one.
But do you have to tidy it up though, innit?
Nah.
No?
I literally said to him when I was going to... I got a new car March the 1st.
Right.
And I said to the guy the week before, I'm coming in March 1st, yeah. I said, do you need me to clean it before I come in? I'll go to the car wash. He's like, nah, don't bother, we'll do it ourselves.
Nice, okay.
And the good thing about doing it on the
scripts,
lease like that...
Scratches and scripts?
I don't care.
Right.
You do it on the lease. So the thing about that is, you're selling it privately, so I understand why you have to do it.
Mm.
But I had a scrape on one of the alloys on my car. And I've seen that as part of the service you get, they send someone out and they'll buff it for you. Mate, it takes them about fucking 15 seconds to fix it with the tools they've got.
The machinery they've
got. And the thing I like about the lease is that also if something goes wrong, it's sorted. You haven't got to worry about it. Now, you do pay a bit more and you pay per month and you almost treat it like a utility, essentially. Mm. But that suits me because I can't be mucking about with stuff. And Halfords, I'm not going in a Halfords.
I'm not
going in one. The two takes I've got on Halfords, one is I used to go in there quite a lot because I used to be quite into mountain biking as a kid.
Right.
And they used to do a lot of bike stuff.
Yeah,
you could buy
do, yeah.
bits from there. And secondly, every single person that worked in there was a student and right. not bothered.
Yeah, okay.
Is that still the case?
No, no, there seem to be older people, I guess. Second, can someone let me know how I road tax a scooter that I don't have a logbook for? If someone could get in touch, that would be fantastic.
So that happened to me as well.
Yeah,
so
right.
But it's for a car.
Right.
You just go on, so basically you find the chassis number of the moped
right.
and the registration number, obviously,
yeah.
the scooter, and you go onto the government website. And you pay £25 and send you a new one.
Right.
And
even if I've got a new address and I'd forgot to update the address on it.
Don't know.
So I send it to my old house.
I'm only responding to the challenge I was originally offered. And I think, did you commit a crime on it?
No. Well, I don't know. It's about all the writs have been sent to my old house.
Yeah, you might have done loads.
Yeah.
So the scooter's never not been used for a while now, no?
I've scooted around and then I realised that it's completely untaxed and uninsured. So I was like, can't do that no more. So I'm trying to get it back on the road. I'm trying to get it roadworthy again for the sweet summer vibes. Oh, tops yeah. off down South End Pier. Lovely.
Like, it'd be like Gomorrah, but yeah. really fucking uncool.
Gonorrhea. That like... man who looks like he's got gonorrhea is circling around South End amusements.
It'd be like Gomorrah. If the main people in Gomorrah were Cannon and Ball.
Did you see the...
Benny Hill.
Did you see the Napoli fans following the bus
that
down
that
tunnel? That looks so like Gomorrah, doesn't it?
It was... And when you were in Naples, it was a bit like Gomorrah.
Well, if you're a Naples resident, you must get quite annoyed that people say, oh, that's just like the TV show Gomorrah. Well, stop fucking doing stuff like that then.
Yeah, I mean,
stop scooting around dangerously on your fucking... on your scooters.
Didn't you hear... Didn't you hear and see a lot of those guys when we were there? I did.
Yeah.
All dressed in black with their tattoos and their mopeds. Speaking of Benny Hill, have I ever played you the horse saying Benny Hill on Lord of the Rings?
The horse saying Benny Hill... on Lord of the Rings.
It's quite a famous thing.
Right. What, the horse is Benny Hill.
I'll explain it to you.
I presume a horse is ringing up, and instead of going, nay, it goes, Benny Hill.
Plug me in.
All right.
And I'll explain to you the situation. All right. And I hope we haven't done this before for our listeners, but you don't seem to remember it, so hopefully no. we haven't. So basically, there's a scene in The Fellowship of the Ring where the, I can't remember what they're called now, the Ring Wraiths. They're called the Ring Wraiths. Do you know them?
Ring Wraiths.
And they're like these guys in hoods, and they're all dressed in black in hoods, and they're chasing Frodo because he's got the ring, right?
Right.
And Frodo, I think, if people can remember the scene, and I might be getting this slightly wrong, but I think what happens is Frodo jumps onto a raft, and they all paddle out into the water, so the ring race can't get them, and the horses
can't swim.
The horses are galloping down the pontoon,
yeah,
and they get to the end and they start going like whinnying and start going like that,
yeah,
and. For some reason, it's left in the film.
Mm.
One of the noises the horse makes really sounds like he's saying Benny Hill.
Go on, then.
I'll play it out. Bang Let on. Me know what you think. Wait for it.
That was worth that.
It's
that
good,
was
right?
worth it.
It's good.
Benny Hill.
Benny Hill. So good. So there you go. You don't always hear a horse playing Benny Hill.
That is solid work.
Benny Hill, but you do in that film. And it's quite interesting that such a big budget production, they can not notice that. But I suppose it's quite arch, I suppose, isn't it?
And
it's not like a Starbucks cup, is it?
And also, if you've never heard of Benny Hill, like,
everyone in America's heard of Benny Hill.
Everyone in America's heard of Benny Hill. No, they haven't.
They have. Trust me.
They haven't.
It is mad how popular Benny Hill is in America.
Fine. Still, generationally, if you've got a young editor.
Also, the film was made in New Zealand as well.
Exactly.
So it might not cross over into New Zealand quite as much.
Can you imagine if the film's like 3 hours long each one, and there's three of them, and there's more Hobbit on top of that. Can you imagine how much footage they fucking filmed?
Yeah.
And like how expensive that would be to film even just a day of B-roll in a fantasy world. Good God.
That was the famous tagline for The Hobbit, wasn't it?
What?
That Peter Jackson said. Yeah, have some more Hobbit on top of that.
Pile some more Hobbit
I know
on top.
That, I'm pretty sure I used to be obsessed with the...
On the Tolkien buffet.
Yeah. Also in The Hobbit, they had to write a female character in there.
Right.
Because they were like, there's no, literally not a single female character in this. We need to write one.
Any ethnic diversity? Nah, it's fantasy, isn't it? Yeah. Fantasy. Yeah.
Well, it's quite interesting. There's some interesting takes. You know, the Tolkien fandom is quite rich and deep. There's some interesting takes around the idea of ethnicity in that world. But anyway, In Lord of the Rings, I completely forgot what I was going to say, actually. But anyway, in The Hobbit, they had to write a female character in. Mm. But I don't know how much footage they filmed. But I do know, because as a terribly stereotypically embarrassing student, I was obsessed with the film Apocalypse Now.
Right.
Right. I used to watch it all the time. Mm. And anyway, I read a book about it. And I think, I'd have to double check, but I think I'm right in saying that because that was during the era of Hollywood with Coppola, where he could do whatever he fucking wanted, mm. he shot 1,000,000 meters of 35mm film. So imagine the expense of that.
Yeah.
1,000,000 meters of 35 on 35mm.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, I even then, you would imagine that even for that world, that was probably less than what, you know, some of the cast were hoovering up in Colombian products.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the production of that film, mm. it's fucking insane.
Yeah,
like they are, like at one point, I think the production company, which I think is Coppola's company, OmniZoetrope. So he's running point on the whole thing.
Yeah,
I think at some point they're like negotiating directly with the Filipino government, who at the time hostile to the United States and using their helicopters in like a completely rogue deal between the Filipino government and Francis Ford Coppola's production company.
Yeah.
And just some of the stuff that went on, it would just never happen again. Like, you know, people talk about things like health and safety and all the rest of it. Like, I'm pretty sure one of the actors had a heart attack at one point and had to go home. Mm. So he had to be replaced. And then they were filming through like monsoons. They went there in monsoon season. It was all sorts went on. Mm. Incredible situation. It would never happen again.
I like Romy Mars, the daughter of Sofia Coppola, mm. Who she's. Did you see that TikTok she put out recently?
No.
Because obviously people talk about Nepo babies quite a lot, but this TikTok made a lot of people laugh because it was literally her just in her kitchen going, "Hi guys, I'm making a vodka sauce pasta because I'm grounded."
How old is this person?
I don't actually know, to be honest. She is... Nope, not a clue. Young. I was grounded because I tried to charter a helicopter from New York to Maryland on my dad's credit card because I wanted to have dinner with my friend.
Oh, it's relatable, isn't it? It's relatable.
Isn't it?
Who among
it's
us,
good
Pete?
Stuff.
Who among us hasn't hasn't done that? On the Apocalypse Now thing,
she also goes on to say that she didn't know the difference between a garlic and an onion. So okay. there's that as well.
They're probably biologically fair. Similar. The same. We're talking about the kind of animal kingdom. They're probably fairly similar.
They look very
species.
Different though, don't they? A very small dry onion.
Both give you excellent breath.
They do.
Apparently, for Coppola. Raised a load of money by telling everyone that Steve McQueen would be in it. And Steve McQueen was like, "What? I'm not doing it."
I imagine that happened a lot in Hollywood.
So for Coppola, when he found out Steve McQueen said, because I think Steve McQueen said, "Oh yeah, all right, that sounds all right."
Yeah, yeah.
But never fully confirmed. Then just obviously immediately dropped out. Like a guy saying he'd come to your party, but definitely isn't going to. And then Coppola had to find $5 million of the money that he'd raised, most of which he'd already spent. To give back,
right?
Because no one wanted.
Because no one wanted it, right?
Yeah,
interesting.
And then he went after Al Pacino, trying to say, "Oh, but you know what? Don't worry about it because I've got Al Pacino." Mm. He was like, "Nah, I went to Al Pacino did something ridiculous." Like I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something like, "No, I went on holiday to the Dominican Republic once, and there was a jungle, and I got really fucking sick, so I'm not doing it." Because he was basically asking to be 3 months in the fucking jungle.
Mm.
The Filipino jungle, because that's where they filmed it. Anyway, mm. it's a fascinating story, the production of that movie, and it's also a brilliant fucking film.
The Heart of Darkness, is that the book?
It's based on Conrad's Heart of Darkness, right. But Conrad's Heart of Darkness is based in Africa. It's transposed across, right. Essentially. Okay. Anyway, we should have a quick break, Peter, shouldn't we? Because when we come back, we've got to do batteries.
Yep.
And I'm pleased to say our friend Gabby McKay did eventually attach some photos to his battery. So we can tidy up that bit of admin the other side of this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke Peach Show. It's a Thursday, so we're doing battery brands. Gabby, who got in touch earlier in our run, so he submitted two new players last week, but he forgot to send the photo. He's now sent a photo of both with the message, "The shame of forgetting to attach the pictures will live with me forever." SkyMax Alkaline, S-Budget Power Alkaline, both in situ in our email box in full Technicolor, and that means that it goes into the pantheon of the greatest battery brands ever.
The battery daddy,
yeah.
I haven't got to recheck them ever because we've done it before.
No, and also I don't know how he's done it, but he's managed to have the SkyMax look like it's floating.
Probably a bit of glass, Pete,
you reckon?
Must be, right?
Glass on what looks like wallpaper.
Looks like wood chip, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll never know. Why don't we ask him? I mean, the plot thickens with Gabby. He's quite a mysterious character.
Yeah.
Not attaching photos, then attaching photos that don't look like they make any worldly sense.
No, yeah. Maybe AI'd it?
So
AI.
It looks a bit like what my friend calls painted air. Have I told you that story?
Painted air?
Yeah.
No.
So a friend of mine's got a theory, and it is basically fueled by, you know, drug intake as a young man. My friend Jimmy, you know Jimmy?
A fruitarian.
Yeah. He said that he absolutely swears blind that one day he was walking along in the morning, quite early in the morning, and it was quite near the coast, and there were seagulls flying around, and he didn't think much of it, but he looked up at one point, and a seagull just stopped in midair, dead stopped, like froze for like 5 seconds, and then carried on again.
Yeah.
And his read on that was that it was like a glitch in the simulation or something.
Right, yeah.
He had been exposed to the secrets of the universe and everything else was just painted. It was all just painted air.
Mm.
And then he kind of extrapolated that out to say, like, you know, ultimately we're all made up of the same atoms. Some of the atoms are painted in a different way, hence painted air.
Mm.
That SkyMax photo there of the battery just floating does kind of remind me of that principle.
Do you give him such a hard time that you give me when I say something weird?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The thing about Jimmy is that he told that story and I said, what time is it? It's about 6 a.m. Oh, were you on the way to work? No. Right. No more questions.
So the UFO guys in America, always pissed.
Oh, the UFO guys in America, that's true. But also, they massively undermine themselves.
Mm.
I follow a load of their accounts on Instagram and I bloody enjoy the content, I'll be honest with you, right?
Put a suit on and talk nice.
Yeah, well, David Cameron, do up your tie and sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Every 5 or 6 posts, possibly because they're pissed, they go, oh, what about, oh yeah, what about this then?
Mm.
Just a bird. It's just an eagle. Yeah. In a weird shape. in an animal sanctuary. Like, some of the stuff's interesting.
Mm.
Some of it is...
anti-Semitic.
Yes. And some of it is immediately explainable.
Yeah, exactly. Right, John in Vietnam, possibly in a jungle, lost, looking after... what happens in that film? He's just a big fat mess, isn't he? And he's gone rogue. He's gone wild.
So Captain Willard, played by Martin Sheen, heads up the Mekong to find Colonel Kurtz, who's played by Marlon Brando.
That's right, yeah.
He's like some kind of head of LERP operation, but he's gone rogue. He's basically gone native.
Yeah.
And don't know what's happened to him. And so Martin Sheen has to go after him and sort him out. And it's basically a descent into madness, isn't it? But the problem I think you're referring to is when Marlon Brando turned up to film the part of Colonel Kurtz, he was about 25 stone.
Mm.
And everyone was like, well, you can't be a general in special forces and be 25 stones.
So well, he has gone mad though, hasn't he? He has gone crazy.
But famously, a lot of fast food in the jungle, isn't
there? There's a lot of, what was I watching? Val Kilmer's documentary that he...
Oh, I've heard that's good.
He spent a lot of time...
lost his voice, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He had throat cancer, I think. Mm. And he was, right throughout his career, sort of filmed everything backstage, he's since his first start in theatre in Broadway, he just filmed everything, like he's just kind of put everything. So he's got quite a nice little kind of documentary together about his journey. It's very pro Val Kilmer, as you would imagine, but
he's done the hard graft, it's only fair.
Yeah, there's a lovely shot of him on a film with Marlon Brando's penultimate role, and he's just in a big hammock.
Really?
And he goes, give me a push. And so Val Kilmer gives him a push in this hammock.
Right, and so apparently, was that film perchance...
Was it
The Ghost in the Darkness?
Oh, probably, yeah. I don't know.
Or was it The Island of Dr. Moreau?
I think it was The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Okay, I've also heard on that movie, or one of those two, that he's being fed lines. He's got an earpiece in.
Is there anyone in Hollywood these days who could get away with that level of laziness? There's just no one that would.
Well,
maybe Jack Nicholson, because he's old.
The guy telling the story said that he thought initially it was an amazing hack. But then when he tried to do it, it was impossible.
Right.
It just looked like he was reading it.
Yeah.
I know that Val Kilmer's got had a reputation, hasn't he, for being there was some rumour went around that when Val Kilmer was really successful, he would try and put it in his terms of contract that he wouldn't have to start filming any of his scenes until everyone else was finished. So it'd be a lot quicker for him.
Right, okay, fair.
And I think after a while people were just like, nah, I'm not
you're not that good, Val.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, John in Vietnam says, I'm currently living in Vietnam, residing in a hotel provided by my employer, much like the Colonel, for what is likely to be 6 months until they find me a more permanent residence. Unexpected life turn on my part. A while ago, I found these little guys in the hotel TV remote, the Eagle Triple A's. I made a mental note, took photographic evidence, and then, as I am prone to, procrastinated on sending them your way for a good few months. That was until a few days ago, when in need of more AAA batteries, I purchased these Pinconos. Clearly, the battery-powered gods are compelling me to get in touch. With kind regards, hoping for a new player, John in Vietnam. And thanks for yourselves and the rest of your stack compadres for keeping my ears company over the last 10 years. Thank you for listening, John. Yes, we've got two there. We've got Eagle Triple A's and also Pinconos.
So the good news is I'm going to cut to the chase. They're both new players. Congratulations.
Yay.
The Eagle ones look very Nazi.
Let's have a look. Yes, eagles, when the wings are spread out like that and it's very triangular, it speaks to the Reich.
Can be problematic.
Speaks the Reichian.
And Pinconos are definitely new players. We've simply just never had Vietnamese. I mean, so obviously a Vietnamese battery.
Bat Nang Long, Ket Yu Thong. That's what it says on the front.
Does it?
God knows. There's a lot of little kind of marks on top of the letters, so God knows what they. Yeah. God knows where that goes.
Yeah. Two new players, though. Congratulations to you, John. All the best in Vietnam. It's a country I'd love to visit.
Kiet. Kiet. You. Thong.
Just let me know when you're done. Would you like to visit Vietnam, Peter?
I would, yes. I would like to visit Vietnam. All around that way.
Yeah.
As I said, now I've got a partner, I can kind of do it. I think lad's holiday to Thailand.
Yeah.
Looks bad. Just looks bad for a man of advancing years.
As opposed to, what, 15 lad's holidays to Japan that you've done?
Yeah, but that's such a different vibe, isn't it?
Why?
Because it's not necessarily noted for sex tourism. All right, I said it.
But there's weeboing and stuff like that.
There's what?
People who have weebos go over there, and it's a bit of an undertone, isn't there?
Yeah, but they're ultimately unsuccessful because they're weebos, little nerdy kids, aren't they?
Right. Okay. I thought a weebo was just anyone who like fetishized Japanese culture.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Little nerdy kids, you say?
Little nerdy kids. Yeah, they all look like me. They all look, don't worry about it. They all look like me.
I didn't say that.
They all look like me. Yeah.
Anyway, I would love to go to... Pete, what about if you and I go to Vietnam together as a Luke and Pete show trip?
Fine.
That's fine, isn't it?
Again, not good, but yeah, fine.
Yeah. I'll probably see it. I'll tell you the listeners right now, I'm telling them right now, if you and I went to Vietnam for a couple of weeks, you and I reckon I'd probably see you three times maximum.
Yeah, cool. I'd be off.
Yeah.
I'd be in the jungle.
And as you can tell by his reaction, everyone, he doesn't see a problem with that. He thinks that's absolutely fine.
Hi, Luke and Pete. Currently on holiday in Japan and noticed the toilet in my hotel room is remote controlled. The first time I've emailed in, despite having listened to you guys from the very beginning of the show, felt now was the time to enter the game despite these problems being submitted before, as the application of these batteries surely ticks many Luke and Pete show boxes. Askull Alkaline Battery 4 in a triple threat configuration. I've sent a pic of the control side to for your rumination. Cheers, Michael.
Yeah, so that's a three triple A's in one. You think somehow, Pete, I mean, now listen, I'm very much a layman on this stuff, would it not be more efficient for them just to have a little gap for two double A's there? Is that going to give you the same power?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it depends on what, I don't know what voltage they put out the old triple A's versus double A's.
That's fair, but the kind of the way they're sold is in even number packs. It's just my point. So you buy four or eight or whatever. You're putting three in a slot there. You've got one spare. It's just a bit of a pain in the ass, isn't it?
Yeah, completely agree.
Anyway,
completely
the good news is for our friend is that Askull Alkaline Battery 4 is another new player. So congratulations to you, Mike. Well done for sending those in. Well, first of all, well found, well spotted. Well submitted, and very, very good stuff.
This message is from producer Rory's dad or mum. Morning chaps, I just replaced some double A's in my boy Rory's toy impact driver. Part of a set to dismantle and rebuild a robot velociraptor. Anyway, take a look at these South House beauties, and fingers crossed they are a new player. This is Luke from Desborough, so yeah, Rory's dad. South House, which a wonderful title. I could not be more confident this is a new player. South House.
How do you get into a position where you're naming a battery after that?
Is that a
kind of people who are... It's a country where they don't have English as a first language. They're picking a couple of English words because I think it makes it sound more authoritative, and they go, right, that'll do. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, South House Battery, I don't know who would... Yeah, nothing really... Nothing's coming up on Google, so I don't know where they're from. And certainly the warnings are all in English, but maybe they have to be.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, like, classy little... Look,
it is interesting, and it's also a new player. So well, congratulations to you, Luke. And Luke, by the way, before we leave, because we probably should get out of here, Luke also mentioned in his email, got a talking point for you regarding weird interest among kids. My 7-year-old Joseph, who spent a good 18 months obsessed with dinosaurs, hence the robot raptor, has now become obsessed with the construction and immediate demise of the Titanic. I've learnt a lot from his YouTube research into the vessel, but what we all find odd is why a 7-year-old lives and breathes all things Titanic. I've not met any other kids with such strange obsessions at such a young age, but I can't help but feel that Pete might have had similar strange interests as a nipper. All the best, Luke. I've got something on that. Anything from you to add on that, Peter?
Big fan of Egypt.
You were a big fan of Egypt.
Big fan of having my own pyramid.
Right, okay.
With fake chambers in to trick people.
When you were 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to live in a pyramid, and I wanted a fake chamber that people would try and get in my house, but they'd go in the wrong bit.
Okay.
And they'd be like, oh, spikes.
It's quite specific.
Specific, yeah.
It must have been because you watched Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, no, somebody, for some reason, at school, some I don't know what it, I don't know where it'd come from. They made like a kind of, you know, like the, what would you call it inside chambers of an Egyptian pyramid. Anyway,
I don't know.
Somebody came around and they'd made this kind of reproduction of what one of the passages would be like. And it sat in our, assembly hall for ages. And right. you're only allowed like 10 minutes in at a time. But right, I must've gone weird. On like 10 times just to experience what it was like to be in a 2x4 box, a 2x4 meter box. And that was entertainment in the Northeast in the 1980s.
If anything, it's got worse as well. Since Brexit.
I haven't got a box.
There's a kid at my school who was obsessed with the Titanic. Nice kid, but he just was just well into it. And he would never stop talking about it.
Well, imagine his kind of interest cooling and then the Titanic film coming in. That would be annoying, wouldn't it? That would be upsetting.
I think I vaguely remember him having some takes.
Right.
On that, because I think we were about 16 when that came out, right. So we were still at school. But I think I can imagine if you're 7 and you see that kind of epically sized vessel sinking in such a dramatic way, I can't see why a kid would be obsessed
with it. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
When we studied ancient Egypt as kids at school, looking back on it, I don't think they should have been telling us all the gruesome stuff.
I mean, that was the main story, wasn't it? How did they
prepare
the body?
They put their brain out the nose.
Yeah,
it's
with
like,
a hook.
Why are you
yeah.
telling us that? Like,
because that's the thing that I remember. That's the thing that everybody remembers.
But it's not going to help you in later.
Everyone's 2D and they pull the brain out with a hook.
Yeah,
to prepare the body. Yeah,
we all got told that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what I would say as well is that maybe it's a way of them getting it to lodge in our minds, so we can learn the other stuff. But I don't remember anything else. You know what I mean? The only thing else I know about ancient Egypt is from the film The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz and John Hannah.
Yeah. Have you seen The Whale, by the way?
Is it good?
Yeah. It's all right.
People liked it, didn't they?
They did like it. Have we spoken about that Air film?
No, before you move on, can I just ask if the girl in The Whale is the girl from Stranger Things?
I could not tell you.
I think it is.
Could not tell you.
Anyway, carry on.
We're well over running.
Okay, well, you just started talking about the film.
I'm sorry, you distracted me with Egypt, and I was thinking about the hook through the nose.
You started talking about Air Bud. Is that what you meant?
We'll be back on Monday with more Luke and Pete Shaw. But in the meantime, do get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshaw.com. Bye.
Oh, sorry, you opened the second.
Farewell all.
I thought you were just doing the outro. See you later.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.